Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to our great big Friday show here on Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Please try to avoid walking under any ladders, breaking any mirrors, seeing any black cats today, because it is, of course, Friday the 13th, and that means bad luck. Or does it? We are often told by opponents of religion that religion is basically a form of superstition, which is kind of what is celebrated on Friday the 13th, superstition. But this is not true. In fact, the Catholic Church is quite anti-superstitious. And long before there was modern science, the Church was leading people away from superstition, which brings us to our topic today, why Catholics aren't superstitious. If you have a question or a comment about faith and superstition, we would love to take your call, 888-318-7884. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. Our guest this hour is Dr. Stacy Trisankos. Dr. Trisankos earned her bachelor's degree in science from East Texas State University, a doctor in chemistry from Penn State University, and a master's degree in dogmatic theology from Holy Apostles College and Seminary. She's the author of Science Was Born of Christianity, the teaching of Father Stanley L. Jocke, and Particles of Faith, a Catholic guide to navigating science. She's also one of the featured speakers at our upcoming super big national conference on faith and science. Dr. Stacy Trisankos, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Cy. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. It's always so much fun.
Yeah, we don't do it often enough. I'm sure that's because you're probably riding horses or writing books or something like that. I just actually found out today you have a new book coming out for us at Catholic Answers.
Yes, I do. We're just finishing it up. It's Catholic Answers, a 20 answers booklet on bioethics.
Oh, that'll be out this month? Or you don't know?
I'm not exactly sure when it will be out, but okay. It's soon. I'm done writing it. It's in the last phases of editing, and it's about ready for us to pull the trigger.
Ah, very good. Very good. Well, we were talking about you recently. Chris Check was in here. Tim Staples was in here. We were talking about you because you're going to be at the conference. And I said that you were once a rodeo queen, but is that correct? Were you a rodeo queen or not?
I was not a rodeo queen. Oh. I did have a horse that ran the barrels. Oh. And I even rode that horse with a broken arm and won lots of trophies. But the horse had to be put down and turned into soap because he got into a fight and hurt his leg really bad.
Did you just say turned into soap?
That's what my daddy told me.
I had no idea. Man, run, horse, run.
I know.
So you rode barrels, huh? So, and now you've got a Catholic horse camp or something coming up?
Yes, I was invited as a Catholic Answer speaker to do the speaking part at Rocking Z Ranch in Montana.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to have mass every day, and they're going to have riding horses and, trail rides, taking it easy, enjoying being in nature. And then in the evenings, we're going to have discussions about theology, St. Thomas Aquinas, reason, science, and horsemanship. So it's really neat. It's the first time something like that's been done.
I don't want you to take this personally, but how did they not call me for this? Like, I'm right here.
Because you don't have a black cowboy hat
I do. I don't have any cowboy hat. But I've also never had a horse turned into glue or whatever you just said.
I have a very traumatic childhood when it comes to pets. So yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Wait, you have how many kids? You have seven kids?
I have seven children, yep.
And did they all ride as well?
No, my children don't ride. My daughters, two of them take horseback riding lessons, and they're both going with me to the Rocking Z Ranch. Like, they invited me to bring my two of my daughters. So it's going to be a really special week up there with them. With Father Sean Raftus, too, is going to be there to hold daily masses and to provide spiritual guidance and counsel during that week as well. So it's very special. I don't know if anything like this has ever been done before.
That's really cool.
It's called the Catholic Cowboy Experience.
The Catholic Cowboy Experience. I like it. Yeah. Well, I'm glad they're keeping you busy because I know you'll be here with us in September, and we're looking forward to that. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but 888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. We're talking with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos about why Catholics aren't superstitious. So what do you say to people when they say, well, look, basically, you're a religious person. That's the same as being a superstitious person.
Yes, and I get that all the time, especially after I converted and I was so excited to be Catholic. And I started studying dogmatic theology, and then I discovered that you could debate people on the internet. my children didn't get meals on time for about 3 years because I was debating people on the internet. But I heard that all the time from atheists, that we're just superstitious. And it used to make me so mad. I don't know, mad maybe is not the word, but it used to really ruffle me because it was anything but superstition. I mean, superstition means a religious belief or practice considered to be irrational based on ignorance or fear. And it was anything but that for me to become Catholic. I was a chemist before I was Catholic, but my progression was kind of like I came to terms with the fact that somebody had to create all of this stuff in chemistry that I love so much, all of the order and the rationality. Somebody had to create that. So I got to God, but then I said, wait a minute, if I really believe in God, then I really need to know the fullness of the truth. And so I came to Christianity because Christianity is the only religion that has the same worldview a scientist must have. We must look at the world as a created entity that's ordered and not just random and illogical. And so it has to be a fully logical, a fully ordered creation. And that's how Christianity views the world. But then I came to Catholicism. So I went God, religion, Christianity, Catholicism, because it's the fullness of the truth. And so that's exactly why I started studying dogmatic theology, because I wanted to know more about our faith. And dogmatic theology is just like deriving equations in physics or chemistry or mathematics. It's that logical through and through. Catholicism asks us to follow the logic all the way through. Like, don't partly follow the logic and say, there, I'm done, and be lazy about it. To be a Catholic, as any apologist knows, you have to follow the logic from beginning to end, and you have to be unafraid to follow the logic from beginning to end. It's the same thing for a scientist. And it was completely rational for me to become Catholic. And so I used to explain that to atheists all the time. And I still do. I don't debate atheists as much online as I used to because I'm busy doing other things
like
now.
Feeding your children now?
Feeding my children. But it's a completely logical system. I mean, through and through.
So I do think a lot of people look, as a matter of fact, even probably more than at, say, evangelical Protestantism or at Islam, they look at the Catholic Church and they think it's superstitious because it's so particular. We have so many things like holy water or rosaries. And do you know what I mean? That it from an exterior look, it's like, man, they got all kinds of little tricks they do. So how do you answer that?
Yeah, I answer that with Stevie Wonder's song about superstition. Like, I was looking at the lyrics to that today, but I answer it the same way. When you believe in something you don't understand, then you will suffer. Superstition ain't the way.
Yeah.
but seriously, when people say that and make fun of Catholicism for having its mystical aspect, those people don't understand why. For everything that Catholics believe or do, there is a reason for it. So just because those people are the ones being superstitious, the people who don't understand Catholicism and wage judgment against it.
Dr. Trusenkos, we have to take a quick break. If you'd like to discuss superstition and faith with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And this show is worth it just to get to hear a Texas woman give a spoken word version of Stevie Wonder's Superstition. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live. Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Friday the 13th. Hope you survive it. I actually have no concern about Friday the 13th. It doesn't concern me even in the slightest because I'm Catholic. I'm not superstitious. And Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, scientist and theologian. That sounds like a show right there. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, scientist and theologian, is our guest. Are you still with us, Dr. Trusenkos?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You sound good. You're coming to our national conference. I'm going to go to the calls very soon. So if you're on the phone, hang on, because we're not going to neglect you. But I want to just mention this because we got Erica right here with us in studio. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
And Erica organizes the conference. And we have our Catholic Answers National Conference coming up September 27th through 30th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla right here in sunny San Diego. And the Hyatt Regency in San Diego for only $149 a night if you come. And the reason we have Erica here is because Dr. Trusenkos, who is now wearing a black cowboy hat for some reason, it's getting out of hand here today, is going to be one of the main speakers at the conference. Isn't that right, Erica?
Yes, she is. She's like the speaker that I am most excited about. Can I just say that?
What?
I just need to give her credit. I just needed to tell you a little bit of an anecdote real quick.
Okay.
So
okay.
Christopher Check, our president, sent out this article called Catholics and Faith and Science. It was like a 7-page article. He sent it to all the conference speakers.
Yeah.
And Stacy was the only one to respond with a response to the article. It was a really well-written article. I really enjoyed it. And she sent this really long email. And it like totally lit me on fire for this conference. I'm so excited to listen to her talk just based on this email. And so I'm just going to, she talks about the Big Bang Theory, and she talks about evolution, and she talks about law, the difference between laws and theories in science. And she goes on and on. And it just like totally captured me. And so one of her last paragraphs says, so if Catholics pray the first line of the creed and mean it, that God created everything, then there shouldn't be a conflict in striving to find better explanations, theories about what we observe, laws in creation. Science is the study of the handiwork of God. And I was just like, boom, there it is. And I, this one.
So you're
going to
become Catholic, Erica?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, now she's already Catholic. What do you say to that, Dr. Trisankos? Another fan.
Yes, that is the line that is the favorite. I want that on my tombstone someday. Science is the study of the handiwork of God, because that's like my whole life.
It was so good.
I love that. And it's what the church teaches. It's what the church teaches, and it's great.
I'm so excited to listen to her talk.
Well, so what's the title of your talk, Stacy?
Science for Everybody.
Oh, okay. All right. So are you going to actually do some science, or you're going to please,
wouldn't that be cool?
Please no math.
In like 1 hour, I'm going to explain everything about science and faith. So everything will be all explained. So the rest of the conference, everybody can just kind of kick back and chill.
Well, I'm sorry you're lacking in confidence there and your abilities. Let me just share with people. Early bird pricing is happening right now through July 2nd. That's a long time for early bird pricing. But get your tickets soon. Seats are limited, right?
Yes, they are.
So if you register before July 2nd, you get the Jimmy Akin custom M&Ms. Yes, we're putting Jimmy Akin's face on M&Ms. A full conference ticket. Tickets includes Dr. Stacy's talk, Father Aaron, Terrence Ehrman. All of our apologists here will do a live show there, and Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke will give the keynote address. I mentioned that special room rate at $149.
That's a steal, San Diego Hotel.
Just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. Come on out. We're going to have a lot of fun. CatholicAnswersConference.com, and Dr. Stacy Trisankos is going to explain everything to us in 1 hour.
In 1 hour. It's going to be great.
Yes. Yes, I'm kidding, but yes, I'm going to lay the groundwork for the rest. That's what my job is in that first talk, is to lay the groundwork, like just to give a framework so that the other talks will fill out that framework.
Wonderful.
And I think it's a good plan for the conference.
And are you aware there'll be square dancing at the conference as well?
Yes.
Bring your hat.
I'm aware there. I'll bring my hat and my boots.
And your horse.
Oh, and
I'm riding into town on my horse.
Right, and before the program today, you and I were talking briefly, and I think you were teasing me, but you said you and Jimmy Akin are going to wear matching cowboy hats and sing the periodic table?
Yes, I heard on Facebook that Jimmy Akin has memorized the entire periodic table, including all the atomic numbers.
Yeah.
And for the almost 3 decades that I have loved chemistry, I have never achieved that. I have never committed that entire thing to memory. So if he wanted to wear his white cowboy hat and sing off the whole periodic table, I could do backup and like fill in with quantum mechanics here and there between the atomic numbers, kind of fill in, explain why there are as many protons as there are in each element.
that sounds like it would either be delightful or horrifying. I can't decide.
I'm impressed.
Erica, where do
I'm
people
confused,
go?
I'm confused, but I'm impressed.
Say again where people can go to get early bird pricing for the conference.
Early bird pricing at CatholicAnswersConference.com. If you have any questions, it's all there.
Erica Olson from Sweden. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Trisankos, we're talking superstition and faith. You being both a trained scientist and a trained theologian, have come up on against many questions of superstition. Among them, would you classify, I'm not sure exactly how sure to put this, but would you classify astrology, especially when it's doing like, these things are going to happen in your future, as superstitious, or would you classify it another way?
I would classify it mostly as superstition. And part of my work where I explore the history of science, I read a lot about how the early church fathers were, that was one of the things in particular that they refuted with clear words and no unclear terms. They refuted astrology and said that, you know, that we do not believe in a God. We do not believe that the universe is God. We don't look to the universe and see into the future. And they very clearly refuted that. However, you know, I have to also say that today it is true that there are like cycles of the moon and stuff that can affect physiologically the human body. But that's a long way away from saying that we should be reading our horoscopes and believing that they can predict what's going to happen to us. That is superstition. Yeah. And we don't have any place for that in Catholicism.
Let's go to our first call. Kyle in Sioux City, Iowa, listening on Catholic Radio there in Iowa. Kyle, your question for Dr. Stacy Trisenkos.
Hi.
Hi, Kyle. Oh.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so I have a quick question. I am a Catholic high school Spanish teacher, and I start each class with prayer intentions. And every so often, I'll have a student pray for something like that we'll get a snow day tomorrow, or that our football team wins the game, or that they can do good on the test. And it sometimes appears to me that the question can err on the side of, like, superstitious, like, if we pray for this, this will happen. And maybe I'm reading into it too much, but I'm
going to... you're breaking up there a little bit, Kyle, but what about that? Praying for things like snow days and whatnot at morning prayer, and the connection of that to superstition?
I would say that it's not superstitious at all. I mean, if it were me answering, I know how students kind of like try to stump the teacher and you have to answer things on the fly. I would tell a student that it's not superstitious that God says that, you know, what we're taught is that you can ask God for anything. You can. That's a very childlike act to ask God for anything, to be willing to ask God for a snow day, to ask God for an A on a test. But it's also an opportunity to teach those children as well and say, look, you can pray to God for an A on a test, but you have to do your part too. God created you in his image and likeness with intellect and free will, and you're supposed to think and reason because God made you that way. So you have to do your part and study for the test. God would not be doing you any favors to just give you an A that you didn't earn on the test just because you ask him for it.
Kyle, are we still connected with you, Kyle, there? Nope. Okay. We lost Kyle a little bit. That's interesting that you said that it's a childlike act because it's good to be childlike in our relationship with God. That is not something that we avoid. It's okay to share with God whatever you need.
Yes, I think so. And I mean, it's, you know, that pray without ceasing. If you're going to pray without ceasing, I find that some days when I'm just carrying on my daily work, like doing dishes or laundry or walking the dog, it is part of the conversation you just have. You're praying, you're developing your relationship with Christ. It's okay to ask for any number of things. I think it helps us as people to think things through when we just start admitting honestly what it is that we want. And if you pray to Christ and you say, I really want this, then go a step further and ask yourself, why do I really want it? What am I willing to do to get it? Is it moral? Is it directed towards God's will? Am I open to following God's will? What am I going to do if I don't get what I want? What might I learn from that? Right. So it becomes part of the conversation.
I noticed that there seems to be a distinction in the way you talk about it from the way we usually think about superstition, which is, superstition seems connected to objects and actions that I think are going to have an effect. Like, oh, I'm superstitious about walking under a ladder, so I don't do that, which actually is kind of basic common sense. Like, don't walk under a ladder. That's actually a good idea.
Right.
Don't do that. But prayer is more of the way that you're expressing that idea of praying without ceasing. Is a kind of sense of sharing your life with God and asking God for what you need from. The power then is not in the objects or the actions, it's in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of it like God's will. Like if everything is supposed to be directed towards God's will. God holds everything in existence, but he gives us free will. And so whether or not a bucket's going to fall on your head because you walk under a ladder, or whether or not a black cat runs across your way. I think the reason that we tend to think those things will affect our future is that we're insecure about something. We're maybe insecure about our own ability to affect our futures or guide our own lives.
Also, we have a lack of trust somewhere that things are going to be all right.
I think so. That's just my opinion. But I think that we have a lack of trust in our own ability to do what's right. Like for me, that was a very big thing about being Catholic. I learned to practice the virtue of prudence. I learned to think things through, make a decision, act, but also admit if I hadn't acted exactly the way I needed to, or if that wasn't God's will, to change my course of action and keep seeking God's will. So I'm constantly trying. But it was an enormous confidence builder for me, because I know, A, if I'm trying to do God's will, I'm doing the right thing, whatever it is, even if I'm trying to pick out which ketchup to buy in the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm trying to do God's will, I'm thinking about everything the right way. And then if I'm open to changing my course if I need to, I have the confidence that I will do that.
Yeah. The ketchup in the plastic bottle, I think, is God's will, not the glass. It never comes out of the glass bottle. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Stacy Trusenko's chemist and theologian here with us to talk about the Catholic Church and superstition and why Catholics are not superstitious. Maybe you think we are. Maybe you have a question about it. Give us a call, 888-318-7884.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
What's up, EWTN family? Save the date, Saturday, November 3rd, Jacksonville, Florida. Join me for the EWTN Family Celebration. I'll be there with all your favorite EWTN personalities and amazing people from all around the country. See you there.
Don't miss the EWTN Family Celebration coming to Jacksonville, Florida, Saturday, November 3rd. Join us at the Prime Osborne Convention Center for this free event. For details, go to EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people, and I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Would you like to become a Catholic Answers Live parish partner? We need you to help us spread the word at your local parish. We'll give you bumper stickers, window clings, flyers, everything you need to let your parish know about the best Catholic radio show on the air. We want you to partner with us. Email us at calpartners@catholic.com today and become a Catholic Answers parish partner. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, who will be one of the featured speakers at our upcoming conference, Faith and Science, Friends or Foes, that's September 27th through 30th, right here in San Diego. I want to let you know that our spring sale continues. Annual spring sale goes on. Actually, I don't have a date here how long it goes on, but all books, CDs, DVDs, ebooks, tracks, MP3s, everything we got in the store is on sale. Use promo code SPRING18 at checkout to save 15% on your purchase. The only thing that's not valid on is like bulk discounts if people are buying a boxes or cartons of books and all that kind of thing. You visit shop.catholic.com, take a look at all the great deals. put in the promo code SPRING18, and when you check out, 15% will come off of your bill. Again, Dr. Stacy Trusenkos is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. Lots of calls, Dr. Trusenkos. Shall we go there?
Sure.
All right. And I will again say, if you have any questions about faith and superstition, we haven't heard from anybody who maybe holds the view that faith and superstition are essentially the same thing. If you do, if you're perhaps an atheist or agnostic who believes that, we welcome that call as well. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Chen in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Chen, your question for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Chen. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. My question's about apparition of Holy Mother Mary in Medjugorje, Bosnia. I'm a Catholic, as with so many Catholics. I went to there years ago for my pilgrimage, and it has been 37 years, and continues going on. For Holy Mother's apparition, sometimes daily, I'd be interested in the what's most update from your view and the church view.
Oh, okay, Chen. That's a little off topic today, and I have no idea actually if Dr. Trusenkos is any kind of expert on Medjugorje. But I will tell you this, and if you have anything you want to add, Stacy, that's fine. But there's several things at Catholic.com. If you just go there and type in the word Medjugorje, right on the home page there, then you'll get a whole list of articles kind of explaining where the church is and all that. Dr. Trusenkos, I only say that because I don't know if it's actually in your wheelhouse, that question.
It's not in my wheelhouse, and I'll tell you why. It's because I wait for the magisterium to rule on things like that. Like, I don't see it as my place to declare one way or the other. So I think with the church.
Fair enough. And so, and if you, Chen, if you want to know what that means, thinking with the church, or, you know, in this case, I think the materials that you'll find at Catholic.com will be very helpful on that. Medjugorje, just type in the word there at Catholic.com and you'll come to it. Shannon in South Bend, Indiana. I wonder if she's anywhere near Notre Dame University. What? Oh, they're telling me in my ear that Sharon is not there. I apologize. I swear I am not doing this. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. One thing I wanted to tell you while we wait for that call, Dr. Trusenkos, I got to do a long interview with a missionary bishop from Africa who would go out into the countryside and he was like a walking missionary, you know, like an old fashioned missionary, go out there and the people there had very many superstitions about ancestors and about demons and spirits and all this kind of thing. And he said that in his experience, well, two things. One, women really liked Christianity because it preached that men and women were equal. And two, he said, it was very hard for people to give up the superstitions, the idea that I have to touch this statue every morning or I have to do this or that, because it was all based in fear. But he said when they were able to accept the gospel, they felt a great relief from superstition, which to me has always spoken about the power of the gospel, that it's not superstitious at all. It's not saying, you know, touch this, go there, make sure you do all this. It's saying simply God loves you.
Yes. And we do have lots of things that we're supposed to do, right? Like with kneeling and doing the things that we do, all the things that we do during Mass and saying our prayers. We do have things that we're supposed to do, but it's a different attitude the way we do them. Like we're offered to do them to grow closer to Christ, to grow in our faith. They're to help us. It's not that we are supposed to do those things out of fear or that something awful is going to happen to us if we don't do them. It's that better things are going to happen to us if we do them, because we're opening ourselves more to living the life of faith.
I think we do have Shannon in South Bend. Now I'm a little confused, but I'm going to risk it. I'm just going to I'm going to just take a shot. Are you there in South Bend, Indiana?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you Shannon?
I'm definitely here. Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. Shannon, I'm sorry. I don't know what all that other stuff was about, but your question for Dr. Drasenkos.
Yes. Well, my question is somewhere crossing between superstition and the supernatural. And the point of fact that is when I if you have watched TV or movies, and they're always talking about like demon possession and like exorcisms. And you always hear about, you always see like when you're on TV that it's like it's always Catholic priests and it's always nuns, and it doesn't seem to have any, it doesn't seem like Baptists or Protestants or anything have any problems with that. It just seems like it's always a Catholic thing. And it just seems to me that demon possession crosses lines between like Satanists and people who practice Wicca. And it just, it's always seemed kind of strange to me. Why does it always seem like it's always about Catholics and demon possessions, where you never hear about a, you know, Seventh-day Adventist or anything happening like this?
The reason you hear about it related to Catholicism is because we think about it. Like I was saying, there's an answer for everything related to our faith, and there is rich, rich doctrine related to angels and spirits without bodies. St. Thomas Aquinas is my favorite. He has a whole treatise on the angels. There's actually, you know, a discipline called angelology. And so you hear about it with Catholics because we talk about it. We accept that there's more to reality than just the physical world. We accept that there's also the supernatural world. There's also the spiritual world, because we ourselves are body and soul. And we understand the power that angels have, or we try to understand. We acknowledge that angels, since they are intellects without bodies, they're still persons by the definition that we use. But angels know much more than humans know. Angels and demons particularly can tempt us. Demons are fighting right now, trying to tempt all of us. There are demons that try to tempt us to do bad things, to turn us away from God. There are demons at work in the world all the time. There are also our guardian angels and all the other hierarchy of angels that are also fighting the spiritual warfare on our behalf. So we're in touch with all of that. Like, that's part of following the logic all the way through. There have to be angels, because it says in the Bible there are angels, and it makes philosophical sense to say there are spirits without bodies. The reason people attribute that to Catholics is because we talk about it.
How does that strike you, Shannon?
That makes a lot more sense. I think it's more maybe on the non-Catholic end of it. It's more avoidance, because there's not a lot of understanding about it. So, but thank you very much. That really did answer my question. And honestly, I am converting to Catholicism right now, and what scared me the most, without taking too much time, is the fact that it seems like, okay, well, now I'm opening myself up to the Catholic faith, and being a Protestant all those years, I never really felt controlled by any demons or spirits and everything. But if I open myself up to Catholicism, that I just open a door into something that would be very scary, of course.
If I may say, I don't know how Dr. Drasenkos wants to respond to you, but The truth is, the devil is nothing compared to God. Nothing. I mean, insignificant, not even a fly speck compared to the power God has. And the fullness of God's power is poured out on us to save us and to nourish us in the Eucharist and the other sacraments. So the goods so far outweigh the bads. There's no place safer to be, I think, than in the heart of the Catholic Church. Dr. Drasenkos, did you want to say anything?
Yes, prayer is your shield, okay? So you're going to become aware that there are demons out there that will tempt you, but your prayer is your shield, because if you pray, it's like a shield of grace surrounding you, and God will protect you. The angels will protect you. I tell my children this, when we pray the Our Father, and we pray to be protected from evil, We're praying just for that. We're praying like a shield to be protected. And you can have confidence that if you continue to pray for it, you will be protected. So you're going to be a whole lot more alive is what it means. You're going to be aware of so many more things.
Okay, Shannon.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. So very much. I appreciate you putting my mind at ease about that.
Oh,
I'm going to continue my journey. And I was absolutely, you know, full-heartedly and through God, of course.
Oh, well, thank God, brother. Call anytime. Thank you very, very much for that call. I think we better take a quick break. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more calls for Dr. Stacey Drasenkos on why Catholic, being Catholic is not superstitious, why the Catholic faith is not superstitious with Dr. Stacey Drasenkos. 888-318-7884, the number. We'll be right back with more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. I'm sure you have heard that it's still okay these days to hold to the quaint superstitions of Catholicism as long as you leave them in church. Because when it comes to reality, religion is just foolishness that withers in the fierce light of science. Problem is, this narrative is false. It is in the Christian West that scientific discovery has most flourished. Still, too many of us find ourselves flat-footed when confronted with bugbears like Adam and Eve versus evolution, creation versus Big Bang, and Galileo versus the Inquisition. What can you do? Come to Catholic Answers' 5th National Conference, Faith and Science. Guest speakers Father Terry Ehrman and Dr. Stacey Drasenkos will join the whole Catholic Answers team to explain how faith and science are actually in harmony. September 27 to 30, right here in San Diego. And we are thrilled to announce a special keynote address by Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke honoring the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're discussing superstitions because it is Friday the 13th, and we have theologian and scientist Dr. Stacey Drasenkos with us to talk about superstition. Why Catholics aren't superstitious is our topic. But you and I were just chatting at the break, Stacey, and we should point out, I suppose, that it is possible to be a superstitious Catholic, to mm-hmm. be superstitious about all the Catholic paraphernalia.
Yes, I think it can be superstitious. You can be superstitious and be Catholic. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to get my head around because I don't think that way myself. But I think you can be. And I guess with everything, you need to push it to the end. Like, why are you being superstitious? I mean, even our children ask us today. They were afraid all week that something bad was going to happen today. Even our Catholic children, they were worried uh-huh. that there was going to be something bad happening today. And my husband and I had to calm their fears. I think it's just human nature to tend towards being superstitious because we know that there is something transcendental. And sometimes we feel sort of like we don't have free will or like there is something bad looming out there yeah. or that we have to do certain things so that certain other things will happen.
Do you have any sense of this, that maybe as we become more secularized and in some ways kind of rationalistic in our society, we still have religious urges in us, though? Those don't go away just because we say we're hyper-rationalists and modern right. and all that stuff. So maybe that gets expressed through a kind of superstitious kind of living, like the universe has a plan for me or something.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with what you're saying. It's hard for me to think that way, but I do. I guess it's what they mean by the God hole in your heart. Like you're searching for God because we're made. Even people who don't believe in God are still created by God and loved by God, and they're made to search for Him. And so I know in my own life, when I was searching for God, I was searching in science because I was searching for some bigger truth than myself. And I think it is a superstition of sorts when atheists put all their faith in science to have all the answers. I think that is superstition, even though they would balk at such a thing. But it's exactly what it is. They're believing something they don't fully understand.
Right, right. Let's go to Greg in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Greg, thanks for waiting. You're on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Thank you for taking my call. What occurred to me was, and I've always had kind of a difficulty with this, you know, in sometimes, whether it be indulgences or something else, that, oh, if you say certain prayers and if you do this in certain order and then you do certain things, then this outcome is going to happen. Like, you know, you'll get blessed in some way or something will happen. And I've always kind of thought that in and of itself is kind of superstitious. And I was wondering what your thought was.
My family has practiced some things like that. And so you're saying that if we believe in indulgences or some kind of remission of punishment due to sin, that's being superstitious. I would rather say that it's a radical act of faith, because we really won't know on this side of heaven what is going to happen because we do what we're supposed to do for these indulgences. And just to give you an example, we read that card where if you pray three Our Fathers, three Glory Bees, and three Hail Marys every night for 3 years, that your family will be taken to heaven to the fourth generation. I wasn't exactly sure what that meant, but I figured it like this. Like, if this is something I can do to show God that I'm serious, that I'm all in, that I am radically going to live my life of faith, if it's something I can do to show God, hey, I'm never going to be able to merit this totally myself, but I'm going to do everything I can to live a life of faith and to show that I have trust in you, then we did. I kept dates on it. Like if we ever even missed a single day with the kids, we would go sit back down and pray. And it wasn't really superstition. It was just my greatest effort to show faith. And I think if you're doing it for that reason, that's very different from doing it just because you're afraid or you're being irrational. I think it is a very rational and radical act of faith to complete an indulgence.
Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, thanks for that answer. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, so what struck me about that, Stacy, is that the acting out of fear and acting out of love or fidelity.
Yeah.
That if I mean, I suppose even with very, you know, beautiful things like, say, holy water or something, if I'm afraid of going into the church without blessing myself with the holy water, then I've gone to a different level. I'm kind of superstitious about it. But if it's an act of love and accepting the blessings that God gives in the way that He gives them, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess you could say that about a lot of things, about accepting the gift of children, about accepting the gift of each day. If you see it all not out of fear, but accepting it as a gift and trying to get as much out of it as you can. Yeah, it's two different ways. It seems like it's a subtlety, but it's everything.
Frank, in Long Island, New York, you are on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. Your question, please.
Hi, Cy. Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Frank.
Hello.
My book is more of an historical question. Father Stanley Jackie, as I think I heard that you have something to do with him in the credits. He believed that the Catholic religion in the Latin West was responsible for the spread of the scientific enterprise during 1200 to 1600. And he believed it was because of the religion created an environment which was conducive to science. And that's the reason why the other countries and cultures didn't have that didn't have a scientific enterprise that took root was because they didn't have the Catholic religion. They had a very cyclical, pantheistic type religion. Even the Greeks and the Romans had the great year where it was like 35,000 years, the Indians, the Aztecs, etc. I'm just wondering if you believe that that is a sort of a backwards proof that there really is something to Christianity and Catholicism in particular.
Yes, I absolutely believe that. And you did a wonderful job of summing up Father Yaki's thesis. I've studied it in depth, and I teach a class on it at Seton Hall University. And I tell everybody about it that I get a chance to, because there's so much to it. And you're exactly right. There is no other religion that has the worldview that Catholics have. There's no other religion that looks at the world with a beginning in time, created by God, with a logos that is fully divine, that the creation is created fully logical and fully ordered, which truly befits a divine logos, the Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And it fits with the Trinity, the Incarnation. We're the only religion that has that view, that incarnational Trinitarian view of the world. And it's radically different from any other religion. They all have some form of pantheism, some belief that the universe is eternally cycling as opposed to a beginning in time. And it was that belief and that worldview that Father Yaki argues and that I agree with that nurtured the first breaths of modern science in the Christian West. Several hundred years before most people think the scientific revolution occurred. The scientific revolution occurred because of Christianity.
Frank?
Great. Thank you both. God bless.
Frank, I got to tell you, that was the happiest I've ever seen Dr. Drosenkos to take a call. You hit you hit right the nail right on the head of what she believes.
I had to speak fast. I'm driving, and I was going to hit a dead zone, so I had to speak fast.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't hit the dead zone. See, especially on Friday the 13th. That's double bad luck. thanks very much, Frank. 888-31-TRUTH is the number here. Dr. Stacey Drosenkos is our guest. She'll let you know next hour, Gloria Purvis is going to be here from Morning Glory at EWTN, the morning show on EWTN. And we're going to talk about her DVD set, Authentically Free at Last. What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to be authentically free? Is it what the culture tells us freedom is, or is it something else? And you know, Gloria, she's just a lot of fun. So hang out for the next hour as well. Let's go to Coleman in Tahoma, California. Coleman, you are up with Dr. Stacey Drosenkos. Your question, please.
Thank you very much. Yes, we're from Tahoma, which is at Lake Tahoe on the California side. And I'm Protestant and I've been a missionary, gone to Asia and several countries, and I've ministered side by side with Catholic priests. Our son and daughter-in-law went to Gonzaga, which is a Jesuit college in Spokane.
You're almost in, Coleman. It just seems like you're one step away. Come on.
We have been Lutheran. But what I wanted to ask, because the only thing that I don't agree with is the worship of Mary. And I come into some Catholics that worship Mary, and I don't understand that. And I wondered if that was part of the Catholic faith.
Dr. Drosenkos?
No, we do not worship Mary. As a matter of using words like variables and algebra equations, there is very, very clear teaching not to use that word. We do not worship Mary. We revere Mary. We honor Mary. I mean, she's the mother of God. Of course, we honor her and revere her, and we ask her for help, and we consider her the queen of the universe, and the source, you know, graces flow through her, and she's a wonderful mother to us all. She is our holy mother. But no Catholic teaching goes as far as to say worship. In fact, it says, the Catholic teaching says, do not worship her, but because that alone, that's reserved for God alone. But we do hold her in very, very, very high esteem. And there's all kinds of wonderful names for Mary that, each of them, the litany of names gives us different ways to have a relationship with Mary and to call on Mary and to, you know, see her as her mother and our helper throughout life. But we do not worship her, very clearly do not.
So, Coleman, you ready?
I appreciate that. And as I say, various dioceses that have been around, like you'll see churches with Mary predominant on the steeple, however you want to say it, and then you get a different feel for it from an outsider standpoint.
Yep, I'm sorry that I have to cut you off there because we have absolutely run out of time. But Coleman, you're right. We do honor Mary. We don't deny that at all. We honor her and often name churches after her. But as Dr. Chesanko says, we never worship her, at least if we're worshiping with the Catholic faith. Dr. Chesanko, thanks for another great hour.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, have fun riding horses in Montana, and we'll see you on September 27th. Hopefully talk to you before that, but we'll see you at the conference September 27th here in San Diego.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Coming up next, Authentically Free at Last with Gloria Purvis right after this on Catholic Answers Live.